Let me warmly greet everyone. Hare Krishna. It is a great pleasure to share the treasures of the Bhagavatam with you, this time online. And I'm very excited about the subject today, the root of devotion, which is the association with advanced devotees. If you do have any questions while I talk, I encourage you to put your questions in the comments. Jagannath Das, our host, will pick them up and then let me know through my assistant, and then we can engage in some reciprocation, some exchange. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya De Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. A tree needs a good root in order to grow, and often it is so that the quality of the root describes and defines the health of the tree. In much the same way, we require the association of people who are on the spiritual path to enliven us and also to nourish us. They give an impetus, an initial impetus, to take up the path of bhakti. And while we are on the path, we will experience nourishment from them so that we can go on with strength. Now, I would like to share today with you a very instructive story from the Bhagavatam that throws a very particular and helpful light on association of devotee with devotees. It especially tells us also how we can make it all that it can become. It will help us to first of all understand how important the Sangha, the association with devotees, is, and it will help us to understand, to improve our own relationship with devotees. There was a great king, King Prachinabahishat, who had been ordered by his father to populate the universe. At that time, there were not many living beings in the universe. So he therefore had 10 sons, the 10 Prachetas, and requested them to help him to procreate. But the 10 Prachetas were very spiritually oriented. They responded, "Yes, dear father, we will enter the Grihastha ashram and we will certainly have children, but Please allow us that we prepare ourselves properly. We wish to go and meditate for 10,000 years. This was another time with another life expectancy. Perform austerities so that our heart can become pure enough to attract other pure souls into our lives, and then have a good population. As you most probably have heard, the consciousness of the parents at the time of conception is very, very crucial to attract a good person. When there is a disturbance, an over increase of rajas and tamas at the time of conception, a disturbed soul, someone who brings a lot of problematic karma will come. So therefore, in ancient times, it was known that one needed to prepare his or her and her consciousness so that one would call good souls into this, into the family. So the Prachetas asked, give us time to prepare. We want to do austerities. And the father granted them this time. So the 10 brothers went on a journey to find the ideal spot for their meditation and for their austerities. And on the journey, they passed the beautiful lake Manasa Sarova. It's a lake in the northern part of the Himalayas. It is a beautiful place. And if you sit today on that lake, you will see in the crystal clear waters a reflection of Mountain Kailash, the earthly seat of Lord Shiva in this world. It's a very, very beautiful. The lake, when it is peaceful and there are no strong winds, is transparent. You can see right to the bottom of it. And it is reflecting this snow jewel, or the diamond throne, as Mountain Kailash is variously known in all its pristine beauty. So as they were passing, they heard all of a sudden wonderful music, and they stopped, and then right before their eyes they saw Lord Shiva coming up, because this is his area. And the Lord Shiva was very pleased with the Prachetas. He said, I can see that you are what is in your mind. You wish to prepare your consciousness by purifying your heart. And I will teach you how to do this. I will teach you a wonderful song called the Rudra Gita, which was originally taught to me by Lord Brahma. By chanting this song, the song of Lord Shiva, you will reach all perfection and at the end devotion to Lord Krishna. This Rudra Gita, if you, and then he began to sing to them the mantras and the lines of the Rudra Gita. It's a beautiful composition, and I urge everyone of my viewers to make yourself familiar with the Rudra Gita. There are three very important sections in the Rudra Gita. It starts with offering respect to the Lord and the various deities of various elements. See, our material body is composed of five gross material elements and three subtle elements, and each one of this element is presided over by one form of Krishna or an devata. And those who wish to purify their existence, their physical and mental existence, they will call upon and glorify with deep respect these various personalities. Then, after purifying oneself in the first section, one can concentrate on Krishna. It's what we do when we go to the altar and we offer something to the Lord. We first take a little water and purify our hands, and while doing it we chant mantras: Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Naranaya Namaha, Om Madhavaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha. And in this way we purify our existence. It is done by all before they approach the Lord. They will do something to purify themselves. If you make an offering to the Lord, you want to first make sure that it comes from a place of purity. So this is how it starts. Then the glorious form of Lord Krishna is described for meditation. Remember, the Prachetas wanted to meditate for an extended period of time. So Shiva, understanding the heart of the Pracheta, gave them this beautiful song. And at the end, the glories of bhakti are described. I would like you to become attentive to one extremely important section of that Rudra Gita, because it is very related to today's subject matter, the root of devotion. Lord Shiva sings, Atana Gangristava Kirti Tirtayor Antavahisnana Viduta Papmanam Putishanukrosha Shushat Vashininam Syatsangamonukra Eshanastava. I would like to offer you the translation which Srila Prabhupada says. Now you will have to listen very attentively. It's very important. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things. In fact, your lotus feet are the destroyer of all the contamination of sin. So, yes, Krishna, to bring Krishna into your mind makes you means to bring auspiciousness to your life. If you can think of Krishna, lotus feet, then even the sins in your heart are destroyed. When we hear we should think of Krishna's lotus feet, we ask, should we only think of his feet and nothing else? Well, Krishna is an absolute personality. Thinking of his lotus feet includes everything about him. I would like to give you an example from Europe. If you would say, I'm serving the English crown, you do not mean just a crown made of gold. The crown implies the king, the queen, the ministers, and everything. So saying, Krishna, your lotus feet are the cause of all auspiciousness, and they destroy all one's bad karma in the heart. It means, Krishna, you completely, as you are, including your beautiful smile and the glance from your eyes, are the cause of auspiciousness. And then the prayer continues in a very surprising way. Why does the devotee call to Krishna? He calls to Krishna to obtain his mercy, to get some blessings, to get the Lord's attention. So the blessings of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, and the attention of the Lord are practically seen by when devotees come into your life. When Krishna is merciful to someone, he sends you devotees into your life. This is how Shiva continues. I therefore beg your lordship to bless me with the association of your devotees who are completely purified by worshipping your lotus feet and who are merciful to the conditioned souls. I think your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with such devotees. How wonderful. This theme that the devotee or a person who wants to come close to Krishna asks Krishna, please help me by sending devotees into my life who can give me the impetus to move forward to my next level, who can encourage me at times when it is necessary to give up my old harmful attachments. No? This benediction of the Lord is seen by the association of devotees. Therefore it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the root cause, the mula means root, of Krishna consciousness, of Krishna bhakti, is the association of devotees. The Prachetas listened very carefully as they were hearing the song, because they wanted to repeat the song. They wanted to meditate about this song, and they took it with them in their hearts. We have seen in many cases in the Bhagavatam that Lord Shiva appears and sets someone on the path to Krishna. I've even seen it when I was in Mumbai. At that time, I was there for Ayurvedic treatment, and I stayed in our temple in Juhu Beach, the Radha Rasa Bihari Mandir, and I talked with many devotees there and asked them, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? And they said, well, we first worshipped Lord Shiva, but then Lord Shiva appeared in our heart and said, go and worship Krishna. And then they said, right across the street of the Mumbai temple, it's not right across, it's a little diagonally across, there is a big Shiva temple. You can see it is open. And we went to that temple, and then Lord Shiva came and said, go right across the street, or diagonally across the street. There is Radha Rasa Bihari. Worship them. Become their devotees. So many, many, many times I have heard this, and I can imagine that we have also many devotees in our community of the Radha Gopinath Temple and elsewhere who listen to this broadcast. I can well imagine that we have a lot of those who were sent on or forward by Lord Shiva. So the Prachetas went, they found their place of austerity and meditation. They wanted to make sure that they are absolutely not disturbed, so they went underwater and stayed underwater. We hear this in previous times. Yogis would do that. There's also in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam an example of Sobari Muni who stayed there under the water. Now, at the end of these 10,000 years, something wonderful appeared. The Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, had seen how these prachetas cooperated so nicely amongst themselves. 10 brothers and one mind. They had gone together to prepare themselves for the task which their father had placed upon them to help procreate the universe. They had seen together, they had the beautiful darshan of Lord Shiva and heard the instructions. They had chanted the Rudra Gita together. They were really together, you know, they were really cooperating. So by this, when Lord Krishna saw this, he was so pleased that he told them something which is very, very, very important for all of us. If you want to read it in your own way, in your own time, it's in the 4th canto, chapter 30, text 8. I will also recite the Sanskrit for you because it's just so beautiful. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Varam Vinidvam Bhatram Vo Yujamen Ripanandana Sohadena Pritak Dharmas Shtushtoham Suridenavaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear sons of the King, I'm very much pleased by the friendly relationships amongst you. So pleased I am by seeing these friendly relationships which you have. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I'm so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now, you may ask a benediction of me. Srila Prabhupada makes a very nice comment to this. See, he addresses the point that in the material world, unity is very, very difficult to maintain, especially in relationships. I think you know how the feelings which were once strong become a little bit weak over time. And the unwanted elements come. So Prabhupada writes how important this unity is. He says, the unity of the individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or rendering devotional service to the Lord. That is real unity. Let me repeat it. The unity of the individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or rendering service to the Lord, that is real unity. I always have gone back to this verse because it gives us a reason why we should put our ego on the parking place when we go to the temple go into the temple without our ego very much dominating, and then have proper association. The Lord was so satisfied that he actually declared the 10 prachetas to be role models whom we should remember. Those who remember you every evening or every day will become friendly with their brothers and with all living entities. So this is some Bhagavad Katha which has a strong lesson for all of us. That is, the Lord is so pleased upon seeing that devotees attempt to together serve Krishna, that he is appearing, actually. In the 10th canto, we find how group petition, when people come together and then pray to the Lord, actually moves the heart of the Lord. You remember when there was such an imbalance on the planet, the Mother Earth actually came to Lord Brahma and asked Lord Brahma for help. Brahma said, I cannot really help you, but let us go with all the devatas who are all concerned to the Lord in this universe and asked him to come. Then Lord Brahma with all the devatas went to a particular place in the universe, the ocean of milk, and they they begged, this is more simple, the Lord to make his appearance in this world. This idea of doing something in the group is also extremely relevant in the main sadhana or spiritual practice in this age of Kali. You have heard that the main sadhana is Sankirtan, glorifying the Lord together in the association of others. In this Sankirtan, this attempt to glorify the Lord, possible, says Jiva Goswami, that especially sweet devotional feelings appear. However, there's one condition. The condition is to be humble. Jiva Goswami says this should not be very difficult in the age of Kali because we are not so qualified in this age. But in this humble mind, state of mind, you can sing together with others and very delightful devotional feelings appear. Again, we are reminded, no ego, please. This deserves a little bit our attention. It is said the cause of our material existence, if you so wish, the building blocks, the fundament, is envy. And this envy, matsarya is the Sanskrit word, it means a type of madness. This original envy spills over like boiling milk or boiling poison into our relationships between each other. And it is this which cuts, so to say, the root of Krishna Bhakti, which is the devotee association. It is, what is envy? Envy is the suffering that appears in the heart when we see another has what we do not have. It's a certain suffering. Oh, someone has more likes on Facebook. Oh, someone is more appreciated by the temple president. Oh, someone is so much more productive in the devotional service. He gains so much more acknowledgement. The Vishnu Purana says, when you feel distress upon seeing the good fortune of others, this distress is likely to continue until your death. We need to become aware that there is something, there is a snake in our heart, as dangerous as the Kaliya snake, who spreads poison, that is the envy towards others. And as a result of this, we cannot be happy in the association of devotees, and we might even create aparadas in our mind, from which more develops later. And in this way, we cut the root. The root which was so strong in the case of the Pracheta, that not only Bhakti appeared, but Krishna himself appeared right in front of their eyes and blessed them. He said, you may ask me for anything. I'm so satisfied. From this we can understand, if there is not the root of devotional service there, that is good association, undisturbed by envy with the devotees, no? Then Krishna is far away. In fact, in the Bhagavatam, this is expressed in the 6th canto, 16th chapter, verse 42. I say this because some of my listeners always like to study the Bhagavatam on their own. The question is risen there. How can a religious system that produces envy of oneself and of others be beneficial at all for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? Do you get it? When you follow a spiritual process, and you are not free from envy, you're not, the enviousness continues in the heart. What is actually to be gained by causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy, and by causing pain to others? when it arouses your anger, O Lord, and practices irreligion. Yeah. Hare Krishna. In the spiritual world, there's just no envy. It's something we have created, a heart disease. I was very happy finding an extremely relevant part in the Bhagavatam. See, because one of my services is to do kirtan and maybe speak before and during kirtan events, to try to frame the event with some instructions from the shastras and from the acharyas, so that it's easy to do it in the right mood. There is one thing for kirtan devotees. See, envy always is very strong amongst peers. One midanga player, for instance, will not be envious on a cook who cooks so good, because cooking is so far away from his range of possibilities that he's pleased when there is a good cook. But the same midanga player or drum player becomes very irritated when there is another midanga player who's maybe knowing more beats or can play for a longer amount of time, and so on. Envy appears towards peers. Now, in the spiritual world, there are many beings who glorify the Supreme Lord. Of course, his direct associates, like we hear the cowherd boys sing the Lord's glories, you know? And they are absolutely free from this disease. And then there are also birds who glorify the Lord. Yes, everything in the spiritual world and everyone is conscious, aware. And there is a verse which says, when the bee hums in a high pitch, all the other birds stop their singing. The birds immediately stop because they think, oh, there is a glorification of the Lord. Let us be silent and listen. Who is it who glorifies? And imagine these birds with beautiful voices. They hear the answer, it's a bee, the king of bees, who's qualified because it sits on the garland of the Lord. It is humming, hari hari, hari hari, by vibrating with its wings. This is equal to the glorification of the Lord. So, this is a good mood. You know, there's a small servant, a little bee, but it glorifies the Lord. And the others, they have such a feeling, good feeling in the heart, and let it glorify. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. There is no feeling of derision, looking down. No. Prabhupada speaks about this. In the material world, even an ass, means a donkey, enjoys his own sound vibration. But in Vaikuntha, such nice birds as the peacock, the cuckoo, etc., prefer to hear the vibration of the glories of the Lord from the bees. Why? The special feature of Vaikuntha is there is no question of sense gratification. Oh, now we get another point. Why is envy there? Yes, because you want to have a benefit. You want to have your sense gratification. You want to be in the center. And therefore, there's envy when one sees another. The Vaikuntha mood on the spiritual mood is, I wish to learn from others. Before I end this Bhagavad Katha, I would like to give you a little exercise, something which you can take with you in your life. I think all of us who listen to this katha have at one stage of our life felt the suffering in our heart, which appears when we think that someone has something which we ourselves crave for. And we have not felt good about it. Suffering means that. Oh, why can I not be happy about the good fortune of others? Especially my peers. Why do I have such a competitive gene in myself that manifests its harmful nature when I disapprove that others are so much more put into the center? We have seen the suffering. There's an old story in India, I don't know if you are familiar with it, which I want to say as an introduction to my exercise. There was once a man who was very poor. He lived in a village, and he came one day into the forest. He was totally desperate. He did not know how to take care of his family any longer. And he cried and cried. All of a sudden, he was startled because he heard a voice. I'm the yaksha of this forest, superior being. And I can fulfill every single one of your desires. You just need to call upon me. Wow, said the poor man. Yes, said the yaksha, there's only one little condition. Whatever you are getting from me, your neighbor will get double. No problem, let everyone prosper, said the poor man and went home. He went to his very, very poor cottage and he said, oh, dear yaksha, this is overpopulated. Our family is so great. Please, instead of this cottage, put a big house there. Vroom! Oh, a wonderful house. So as he was going inside the house, you know, going for the entry, he looked to where, just out of habit, to where his neighbor was, and there was a house double as big as his own house. He said, well, I'm happy for him. And he stayed happily in his house for some time. Then he something happened, and he felt, maybe I should expand my house. I mean, it's good now to go a little up, you know. I have this yaksha who is willing to do this. And he said, can you, dear yaksha, I wish a four-story house in the village. Four-story, boom, four-story, one, two, three, four. He said, I wonder. If my neighbor also got a bigger house. So he went to the bathroom, and from the bathroom he looked, and wow, it was an 8-story house. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8-story. oh, this rascal, he felt, he didn't do anything. I went in the forest, I made the relationship. So he went out in the fields and he said, I wish that my field is really significantly larger. And it was. And when he walked some distance to look at the field of the neighbor, it was a huge field. Now he really got suffering in the heart. He thought, I can't tolerate this any longer. Day and night, this misery eats my heart. My neighbor, who is absolutely untalented, foolish, and of a bad character, is just gifted with so many things he doesn't deserve. Is there anything I can do? And now see how his mind went. Yes, he said, my dear Yaksha, please take one eye from me. Boom! Now he was one-eyed. The pain didn't disturb him. He immediately went to this neighbor and he saw, to his great happiness, the neighbor had two eyes, which were blind now. But is this happiness? This is misery, misery, misery. How Daksha felt, a seed of envy, when he entered the sacrificial arena and Brahma and Shiva did not get up to greet him. He was not disturbed by Brahma because Brahma is his father, but Shiva was his son-in-law, and how he felt. Oh no, this is not a good person. And he gets so much glorification, Lord Shiva. He didn't get up to respect me. How from the seed of envy, so many things happened so that at the end he lost his head and got a goat head. And you all know from the Bhagavatam. Therefore, my dear listeners, I have today a wonderful exercise for you, which you can do to get rid of this disease of the heart. It comes from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. I have heard it from a reliable source. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur saw that in his ashram there were two members who were unfortunately very envious on each other. They had bad feelings towards each other. And it was disturbing the ashram inmates because they were senior, older devotees. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur asked them to come and sit before him. And then he said, Person A, is there anything good that you can say about Person B? No, said Person A. He's a rascal. Not anything good. Well, it's good that he is a vegetarian. He eats vegetarian. Non-meat eater. Okay. Person B, is there anything that you can tell that is good about Person A? Person B said, no, nothing. I think deeply. something. Then person B said, at least he sleeps in the ashram. It's a good place for... Okay, person A, then he's a good... You can find about person B. And they went on and on and on. And at the end, the two who had been envious embraced each other. So, the exercise for you is to understand it is important to uproot envy, which cuts the root of devotional service, sadhu sangha. And for this, find a person where you feel not such good feelings for, and then try to replace these not so good feelings with something which you genuinely see as good. Maybe that the person is genuinely trying, that the person chants like you chant the holy names. But it should be genuine, not artificial. Be open, be frank. See what you can find. And you will see from that little exercise, seeing the good in others, more will come. And the last thing before I go to the questions is this. Please know that Krishna is in the center. Although we all think we are in the center, Krishna is really in the center. And just like in Vaikuntha, where the birds are happy about the contribution of the little bee who is vibrating with its wings and who is in this way trying to glorify Krishna. Everyone, in a way, is there for the glorification of Krishna. And whoever does it, some are not doing it. They are good souls. I thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The 10 Prachetas ki jai. The amazing lessons from their lives ki jai. And I will now go to the questions. We must end in 5 minutes, I hear. In this age of distractions, what do you suggest for the youth of today so that they are rightly engaged? How to come together in unity? To engage young people is not so easy if you do it from the perspective of a grown-up person. In order to engage young people efficiently, you have to practice empathy and see how they see things, what is interesting for them, and then engage them in these things that are interesting for them. I was once invited to a great program with 10,000 young people in Delhi, and we understood, in order to capture their interest, we had to invite a devotee who is a motivational speaker. So in Mumbai, we have to invite Gogopal, who speaks to them in that special way in which they can relate to the content. And in the same way, there are things which we have to find to engage them with. For instance, what we did in Serbia, young people are interested in social media, so we gave them a camera in their hand and they had to do a reportage a documentation of our spiritual camp, our Krishna conscious camp, you know, our retreat, our festival, you would say, in India. And yes, and they were all the time there in all the programs because they needed to make a nice documentation which they were showing to the people. This is one answer to you. So how to come together in unity? You need to find what is their taste, their young taste. It may not be your taste, but your taste, their taste, and connect that with some Krishna conscious activity. Why do bad things? Well, that will be a long question. Why do if you are a good person and have not done anything wrong, why then do we go through challenges and difficulties? This is there because we have something to learn. We did something, and now this particular unpleasant situation creates an understanding on this more subtle platform to leave this harmful behavior which we have done in the past. Krishna is above all karma. He has not created the law of karma to inflict miseries, but to correct us. We just have to see why it is. There is one ancient work. I believe it's the Vishnu Purana. I read it when I was young. And there it is said, what is the cause of certain ailments? For instance, if you have a bad smell coming from the mouth, I remember this at the moment because it's related, then it is because you bad-mouthed someone. So now you feel, oh, I have this problem. Whenever I open my mouth, there is some air pollution happening. So I should be more careful with what comes out of my mouth, especially what I speak. My dear devotees, I was informed, or my dear listeners, that it's time for us to end this call. I thank you very, very much for staying with us. I hope everything goes well for you, and I hope you have gotten something practical from this beautiful lesson on the life of the Prachetas. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.